once you have that in place, you see all these local versions of camps grow out. So out of the Russian camps from World War One, we see some of the roots of the Gulag. Out of the German camps from World War One, we see some of that institution and the approaches to it borrowed for what become the Nazi camps later. So everyone from there uses their local culture, if you will, some of which had prior forced labor camps in history. They had other things, but they combine it with this idea of mass civilian detention without trial.
Well, Andrea Pitzer, we want to do part two, and we'll post online at democracynow.org her new book, just out, One Long Night, A Global History of Concentration Camps. And that does it for our show. Juan Gonzalez will be speaking in Newark, New Jersey tonight at the Abyssinian Baptist Church at 7, then next Friday, not tomorrow, in Kansas City, Missouri. I'll be going all through Canada on the last week of September. Check our website. Our website is democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh. Thanks so much for joining us.
And you've been listening to Democracy Now! Here on KBOO Community Radio. And I'm Barbara. I'm here with Seth. And we're going to tell you for the next minute why you need to become a member of KBOO right now. And you do that by calling 877-500-5266 or going online to kboo.fm. You just finished listening to Democracy Now! That in itself is the reason, a good enough reason to join. Where else would you ever hear something like Democracy Now!
Well, on public radio, this is the home. This is the home for important shows like Democracy Now! Give us a call right now, 877-500-5266. You'll show your support for Democracy Now! We have the matching funds going on, so every dollar will be two. And you can get this beautiful Democracy Now! Independent radio, TV, news, T-shirt sent right to you. And you can do it $10 a month, $120 for the year. 877-500-5266. Go online, kboo.fm, and click on donate.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. You've been listening to Democracy Now!, and the evening news will be next.
KBOO would like to give a special thanks to our local community partner who donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by the Roxy, located at 1121 Southwest Stark Street in Portland. Breakfast is served any time at this 24-hour diner. Lunch was provided by Stupid Burger, located at 3441 North Vancouver Avenue in Portland, Oregon, 97227. Gourmet burgers, hot dogs, and fried fare from a yellow trailer. Dinner was provided by Tamale Boy Restaurant, Truck and Catering with three locations in Portland. Go to tamaleboy.com for more info. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
Later in the hour.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. Up next is the evening news. The time is now 5:02.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of VIBE's Grand Opening Weekend and 10th Birthday, Friday, September 22nd at VIBE in Portland. VIBE's Grand Opening Weekend and 10th Birthday will unveil VIBE of Portland's new studio along with a celebration of a decade of empowering kids through art. Again, that's VIBE's Grand Opening Weekend and 10th Birthday, Friday, September 22nd at 7 p.m. at VIBE of Portland's new studio at 5633 Southeast Division Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Fearless reporting, the news you trust, stories that represent you, the information you deserve, and the community you can depend on.
This is Doug McVeigh saying so long.
I'm Al Khan.
I'm Grace Ann Smith.
For Poetic Justice, this is Dan Raphael.
This is Ray Bodwell.
I'm Sam Bowman.
KBOO News and Public Affairs, nearly half a century of award-winning local and national coverage and community engagement.
Welcome back to Counterspins.
What's good? This is Tevin, your host here at Combined Culture Radio.
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
What's up, fam? You're tuned to Hard Knock.
Welcome back to another episode of Keeping It Real.
It's Labor Radio.
Kitchen Table Conversations with Mary Postlewaite.
Welcome to Cutie Pog Talk.
Good evening and welcome to Prison Pipeline.
You're listening to Right to Survive Radio. I'm Ibrahim Mubarak.
Hey, good evening. This is Jean.
And this is Rowan.
And this is Transpositive PDX.
Tune in this Friday, September 22nd, during KBOO's Fall Membership Drive for News and Public Affairs Day to hear breaking stories, interviews with national journalists and political leaders, and to become a sustaining member. Give the gift that keeps on giving in the form of a KBOO donation and become part of community media.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on our hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News, federal agents are raiding Washington County Courthouse.
Trump increases sanctions on North Korea.
Beloved local fast food chain Burgerville is still ignoring employees' demands for living wages.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Thursday, September 21st, 2017. KBOO is currently in our membership drive, and we'd like to urge you to become a member by calling 877-500-5266. I'm Tom.
And I'm Grace Ann Smith. As first reported by ACLU and The Oregonian and released in a YouTube video, federal agents attempted to illegally detain and arrest Isidro Andrade Tafoya, a married father of three children who resides in Forest Grove and has worked as a county road maintenance employee for almost 20 years outside the Washington County Courthouse. Andrade Tafoya said he had been accompanying his wife to a court hearing and later recalled that a woman dressed in an Oregon Ducks hoodie and the man in a blue and white plaid shirt had sat near them outside the courtroom, went inside with them for the hearing, and then followed them outside. Andrade Tafoya had thought it odd that the morning before he had seen a van stopped in the no parking zone in front of his pickup as he and his wife were leaving the Washington County Courthouse, he said. Andrade Tafoya and his wife were near the Northeast Lincoln Street and 3rd Avenue, about a block from the courthouse, and were passing remnants of a demonstration protesting the arrest last week of two undocumented immigrants by ICE when the man and woman emerged from the van and repeatedly asked for his name and ID. The KBOO Evening News has audio of the encounter.
The van behind the red car is the ICE car. And someone from another car just got to them. They're pulling in front of a black truck where some people from the courthouse are walking up to their truck. The woman in the purple jacket, I had seen her coming out of the courthouse. Do you have a warrant? Do you have a warrant? Are you with ICE? Do you have a warrant for arrest?
Which?
Do you have any identification? Do you have any identification that you can show them?
So this.
Excuse me, ma'am. Please step back.
This picture right here.
Do you have any identification that you are showing them?
Please.
Do you have no? Do you have?
You are not. You are not.
Who are you? Who are you?
You are not part of the court. We do not know you. Please back away from my husband. Please back away from our car before we call the cops.
Yeah.
Before we call the cops.
Are you getting your gun?
Please get out of here.
Does anybody have any ID? Does anybody have a warrant?
No. No, you don't need to show anything.
We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, agents.
These random
we have three cars.
They're asking my husband for his identification. We have no idea who any of these people are. We literally just walked out of the courtroom and we're being approached right now. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely ridiculous. We don't know any of these people.
That one?
I'm sorry, yeah.
What did they ask you?
This woman
asked my husband what his first and last name was, asked him for his ID, showed a mugshot to him, and told him that that was him. It was not even the same picture. Who the is she? They were there near us, and then we came out of the courtroom and she followed us. I don't understand what's going on.
Well, we think they're icy.
Isidro Andrade Tafoyas has since told press that the federal agents showed them a photo that was not Andrade Tafoya, while four more unmarked cars pulled up around them and eight other people got out. One man had a jacket with ICE written on it and had a badge. Andrade Tafoya said none of them identified themselves. The man in the ICE jacket took a look at the photo, looked at Andre Tafoya, and then said, quote, "That's not him. Let's get out of here," end quote. The woman said, "Sorry," and then they left. Andre Tafoya went on to say that, quote, "It was like watching roaches scatter when you turn on the light. They just left my wife and I standing there," end quote. The American Civil Liberties Union Foundation of Oregon said its legal observers have seen at least 10 people taken into custody by ICE agents at the county courthouse since April. In that same month, Oregon Chief Justice Thomas Ballmer wrote a letter to Attorney General Jeff Sessions and then Homeland Security Secretary John F. Kelly, urging ICE to stop making arrests in and around Oregon's courthouses. Sarah Armstrong, an Oregon ACLU spokeswoman, said observers now go to Washington County Courthouse every Monday since receiving a tip that the ICE arrests are still occurring.
The Oregon Supreme Court has ruled that the Oregon arts tax is fully constitutional. Previously, the tax had been challenged as being an unconstitutional for being a head tax, also known as a poll tax, which taxes each individual at a flat rate. This type of taxation was made illegal in the whole country after the year of 1964, the introduction of the 24th Amendment. The advocates of the tax fought and eventually proved that the arts tax does take into account personal incomes for people at or below federal poverty lines that are exempt from that tax.
KBOO volunteers have stepped up their game to bring you this locally produced newscast every single evening. So now we are asking you to do the same. Joining us now are Barbara Bernstein and Seth to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
And you can do that by calling 877-500-5266 right now. And I just have to start out by saying, wow, that footage that we heard about what went on in front of the Washington County Courthouse when ICE tried to arrest or at least to pick up somebody who was Latino and therefore must be illegal. And it turns out he works for the county. Anyway, that footage was great. I've been hearing about the story, but hearing that footage really brought the whole story home and made it so much more vivid. And that's what KBOO's about. We are here in the community, and the KBOO News is out in the community, reporting on the community for you, the community. And you can become part of that by calling 877-500-5266 and making a pledge to join KBOO, become a member. It's not just giving us money. You're really becoming a member. You become involved yourself in a whole different way. And as we used to say, when you become a member of KBOO, your radio looks better. It sounds better. Your reception is better. And it's just maybe coincidental, but it could also be because the gods and goddesses of good radio are out there helping you to enjoy what we do. So every day you can enjoy KBOO that much more by calling right now at 877-500-5266.
And if you call right now, we have a matching donor. We have a matching donor challenge. So if you give us a call and you pledge $10 a month or $15 a month, it will become $20 a month. It will be doubled, dollar for dollar. So give us a call right now, 877-500-5266.
One thing, this matching fund is really for new members and members who up their ante, so
it's
to
for the new dollars.
Right, so right. It's to encourage the new dollars here at KBOO.
And I would like to thank, we have a couple of people who just called in and joined, SPO, returning, SPO, I guess SPO, in Northeast. Desiree came in person from Northeast, so she was here, seeing all these faces made for radio. Alexandra, renewing from the North, and Teresa, renewing. So four renewals. There you go. Thank you very much. Be a member of your community, because you are part of the community. 877-500-5266. We do the real news here, not the fake news. This is volunteers. We do the news that's important to you, local Portland, and the world. We face the controversial issues. We report on the real news, not the pretty stuff. I mean, yes, there's some pretty stuff, but some of it's not so pretty. But we go there and we face it and we bring it to you.
877-500-5266.
Facebook has decided to overturn their decision to not share Russian bot advertisements during last year's presidential election. They previously had shared selected documents for only brief periods of time before pulling them in order to protect consumer privacy rights. They revealed that they received over $150,000 for 3,000 different fake Facebook accounts for fake political ads. Mark Zuckerberg presented a 9-point plan that included items such as making it possible to see what ads advertisers are also running and requiring political ads to show who paid for them, as well as creating an agency that shares potential threats with other social media companies. In a transcript from Mark Zuckerberg's speech during a live stream from his Facebook account, he stated that, quote, "I don't want anyone to use our tools to undermine democracy. That's not what we stand for," end quote. This is coming on the heels of Germany's election, in which the German government is threatening fines of up to 50 million euros for any social media company that fails to remove hate speech and other illegal content within 24 hours of it being posted.
President Trump has recently released an executive order that would target additional North Korean entities, and he says he's still committed to economic pressure for now instead of military action. Trump said, quote, "North Korea's nuclear program is a grave threat to peace and security in our world, and it is unacceptable that others financially support this criminal rogue regime. The brutal North Korean regime does not respect its own citizens or the sovereignty of other nations," end quote. Trump said his new order would enhance the Treasury Department's authority to target individuals or businesses that deal with a lot of trades with North Korea. It will also place new limits in an effort to prevent sanctions evasions. Vice President Mike Pence said, quote, "We do not desire a military conflict, but he has made it very clear that all options are on the table."
A Southern California woman who is battling leukemia has been unable to obtain a stem cell transplant from her sister in Vietnam after the U.S. thrice now has denied her application for a visa. Helen Hyun, a 61-year-old woman, was diagnosed with a very aggressive version of leukemia in February and was told that a stem cell transplant would give her 2 to 5 years to live. Finding a donor with a 70% match would be a miracle, but Hyun's family found a 100% match in Hyun's youngest sister, Thay Nguyen, who was in Vietnam. Repeatedly, Nguyen submitted a request for a visa to the U.S. but was denied. She even requested an emergency temporary medical visa, but was still denied. Yvonne Ivan Murray, who is Hyun's daughter, said, quote, "For the U.S. government to not make an exception for medical reasons is ridiculous. I'm not saying it's a race thing. I'm saying it's because of a policy we have with less developed countries. It's a flaw in the visa process, and it needs to change," end quote.
You're listening to a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Our volunteers work very hard every day to bring you this coverage of local, national, and international news. So now it's your turn. Joining us now are Barbara Bernstein and Seth to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Thank you. This is Seth. You are listening to KBOO News. There's a reason why you're listening to KBOO for your news. You can listen, you can go to CNN, you can go to MSNBC, you can get your news from your local stations, and I'm sure you do. But you tune in specifically to KBOO News because we're local and we talk about the important, possibly overlooked issues by the mainstream media. Like I said earlier, they are into the profit motive. To them, news has become part of the entertainment field. We do not take news as entertainment. Give us a call, 877-500-5266. Go to kboo.fm, click on donate. Keep the news local, keep the news real, so you have this option. We need you and we need your donations to keep the real news. If you call us now during the news program, we have a matching program. And so dollar for dollar matching, you can also get a great gift, $10 a month, $120 a year, which you can give by the month. We do EFT deposits out of your bank account or your credit card. You can get this great USB drive. We have a KBOO USB drive of all the archived audio. We're in our 50th year now. We have some stuff. 1969 interview with Pete Seeger, Margaret Mead, Molly Ivins, Ken Casey. We have he did an appearance at Powell's Bookstore in 1992. That's on there. Paul Robeson, W.E.B. Du Bois from 1964. Daniel Berrigan, Dick Gregory, who just passed away 2 months ago, who was just a brilliant speaker, Eldridge Cleaver, John Trudell, all on this little flash drive. You can own this for $10 a month. Give us a call right now, 877-500-5266. Go online, kboo.fm, click on donate, and get this community radio, become part of it, and get this great USB drive.
And also, we have a special drawing for today. Every day during the pledge drive, we have a special drawing. And today, become a member now and be entered to win today's prize, which is fulfilling your medical and or recreational cannabis needs. You will win a $200 gift certificate from Jane PDX in Portland. We're offering a new prize every day of the drive, so call right now at 877-500-5266. Now to be entered for a chance to win. Or you can go to kboo.fm and click on the donate button right there. Also for rules and restrictions.
We try to make it as easy as possible. Give our volunteers a call. We will walk you through it. We will make this monthly deposit as easy as possible. 877-500-5266. KBOO-FM, we're entering our 50th year. We're public community radio. You as a listener may not understand exactly what that means. It means we take the airwaves. The airwaves are free for Americans. A lot of people have forgotten that. They think you have to have a big corporate sponsor. You have to have all kinds of fancy equipment. You do not. And we prove that every day.
And so, actually, this is a station that is actually owned by you, the listeners who become
right.
The members. We're not owned by some distant corporation. We're not Sinclair Radio or something horrible like that. We are the radio of the people of Portland and environs. And actually, because of the web now, people all over the country are KBOO members.
That's right.
And you can become a member yourself by joining. You can call 877-500-5266. You can go online and click at kboo.fm and become a member. And as Seth said, for $10 a month, which we will actually arrange, or you will arrange with your bank and with us, for your bank to directly deposit in our bank account every month, $10. That goes a long ways every month in terms of helping us pay our bills. It's kind of like getting an allowance every month as opposed to just giving a big gift at Christmas.
And it also helps us budget. We know what we can count on month to month. We actually prefer the monthly donation, so you don't have to take it all out of your pocketbook all at once. $120 a year, $10 a month. We make it really easy. 877-500-5266. This is not just community radio. This is a stand for truth. This is a stand for freedom of information. When radio was first invented back in the early 20th century, it was free. It was public. It wasn't designed to be big money-making corporate. Of course, that's what happens when you ignore that fact, when you let people take the radio away from you. As Gandhi said, I'm going to paraphrase, no one can take your self-respect if you don't give it to them. We gave up the freedom of the radio. We're taking it back here at KBOO. Help us take it back. 877-500-5266.
And I want to thank a couple people who are helping us to take back the radio. Sarah from Hillsborough, okay. And Megan from North Portland. And one is Megan's new, Sarah's renewal. Thank you very much. And welcome. You can be do like Sarah and Megan right now and call 877-500-5266, or you can go online to kboo.fm. Even if you don't live in North Portland or Hillsborough, you might live in San Luis Obispo, you might live in Atlanta, Georgia. Anything is possible with kboo.fm.
Anywhere in the world, you can become a member. Please give us a call. 877-500-5266. Become a part of this great independent radio and community station. Become a part. 877-500-5266.
This one's garbage. You are listening to an hour-long membership drive. One moment. You are listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. We'd like to remind you that you can call to renew your KBOO membership or become a member at any time during this program by calling 1-877-500-5266. Stay tuned for Rose City Native Radio at 6. At 7, it's Hard Knock Radio, news and views from a hip-hop perspective. For tonight's weather, expect partly cloudy skies and a low of 55. Tomorrow's weather for the Portland metro area will be mostly sunny with a high of 67 and the scent of a freshly rinsed earth in the air. The Dalles and Hood River, partly cloudy and a high of 71, and the Coast Range mostly sunny with a high of 60. Today in history in the year, 1904, the voice of conscience for the West, Chief Joseph, died while in exile of a broken heart, according to his doctor.
And now, the latest news and developments from the occupied territories in Palestine from the International Middle East Media Center in Bethlehem.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center at www.immc.org for Monday, September 18, 2017. Israel troops demolish a home in Jerusalem and maybe attack Gaza fishermen. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. Israeli soldiers invaded on Monday morning the village of Zayim in occupied East Jerusalem and demolished a Palestinian residential building. The soldiers surrounded the village before many army jeeps and military bulldozers invaded it and demolished the building owned by Muhammad Awad Sa'iri. The Israeli army claims that the building was constructed without obtaining a permit from Jerusalem City Council. Earlier on Monday at dawn, Israeli soldiers have abducted 18 Palestinians from their homes in different parts of the occupied West Bank, the Palestinian Prisoner Society, PPS, has reported. Moreover, around 3,000 Israeli settlers broke into the courtyards of the Ibrahimi Mosque in Hebron in southern West Bank under the pretext of celebrating Jewish holidays and marking the Jewish New Year, which starts this Thursday. Israeli forces stormed the old city of Hebron, turning it into a military zone, while hundreds of Israeli soldiers and special forces spread out in the city to provide protection to the settlers as they stormed the mosque, according to local media. Palestinian residents in the old city reported loud celebrations as settlers freely used firecrackers and played loud music during late night hours. The Ibrahimi Mosque and the old city of Hebron have always been subjected to ongoing Israeli violations, especially that the city is surrounded by illegal Israeli settlements inhabited by around 500,000 extremist settlers. Elsewhere, Israeli Navy ships attacked on Monday morning several fishing boats in Palestinian territorial waters in a Sudania area northwest of Gaza City, abducted two fishermen and confiscated their boat. The Navy abducted the two fishermen and took them along with their boats to Ashdod Port near Gaza, local sources reported. And that's all for today from the IAMC News. This was the Monday, September 18th, 2017 news roundup from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.iamc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by George Smawi and me, Ghassan Bannoura.
And now we hear the latest in worker-related news from our friends at laborradio.org.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a Diversified Media Enterprises production.
For WIN, I'm Joanne Powers. The union representing workers at the U.S. Department of Labor is up in arms over plans to induct former U.S. President Ronald Reagan into the Labor Department's Hall of Fame. A former president of the Screen Actors Guild, Reagan boasted at the beginning of his presidency in 1981 that he was the first president of the United States to hold a lifetime membership in an AFL-CIO union, but shortly after set his administration's anti-union tone with the firing of over 11,000 striking air traffic controllers, represented by the Professional Air Traffic Controllers Organization. I spoke Wednesday afternoon with Eleanor Lauderdale, Executive Vice President of the American Federation of Government Employees, AFGE, Local 12, at the U.S. Department of Labor. Welcome to Workers Independent News, Eleanor. I hear you have some concerns about former President Ronald Reagan, not known generally as a friend of labor, being inducted into the Labor Department's Hall of Honor.
This is a Hall of Fame where you have people like Gompers, Randolph, Chavez, real labor leaders. I really think it taints the whole environment to put someone in like Reagan. To me, it's a sign of disrespect to these true labor leaders. To put someone in who's one of their first acts as president was to fire the air traffic controllers. He does not really stand for what these people stand for, which is grassroots organizing, making a better life. Actually, people who built the American middle class. There would be no American middle class but for unions. I don't think a lot of people understand that. And that is not what Reagan stood for. Reagan cared little or nothing about firing these federal workers simply standing up for their rights.
And just to clarify, his firing of the Patco workers in 1981 was not just some federal budget belt tightening. He was specifically focused on busting the union.
Yes, yes, and he did. And he did. And it also sent a chill through every single union in this country, definitely through the federal unions, the public sector unions together, and definitely through every single union, that this is what happens when you are standing up for your rights as an employee. It shook the labor movement, and he intended to do that. To turn around 30 years, 35 years later, and then induct him into the Labor Hall of Fame, it's unconscionable. We thought that when we heard it initially, it was a joke. We didn't really take it seriously. We did not know what to make of it. We do know now that it's something that everyone in labor, not just the people in the union, but employees need to contest.
They did manage to scrape up a union to nominate him for the hall. The Sergeants Benevolent Association of New York City, citing his earlier role as president of the Screen Actors Guild.
I don't know how they went all the way back to who he was in Hollywood and who he subsequently became. He turned his back on labor. Maybe he was at one time a true labor leader. Maybe he did believe in the labor movement. However, in order to become president, in order to move on, he turned his back on that because that's what he thought would win him the presidency, keep him the president. And he no longer believed in unionism. So the fact that he believed in it at one point in time in his younger life does not negate the fact of what he did as president of the United States. He changed the face of the labor movement. He also made the labor movement seem as though it were something bad. And I don't think that when our president, Alex Bastani, spoke to the Washington Post, that it was hyperbole to say that he made the division between rich and poor that much more stark. That's not hyperbole. That is the truth. He also made working people think, well, you can climb to that next level, so don't join with your coworker. Always try to climb up to that upper rung. And that caused a division between rich, poor, white, black, Hispanic. It did lead to what we see today. Reagan's effect has been monumental on a society that I think we all saw getting better. And he came in with a comfort level, like it is comfortable to like the rich, to aspire to be rich, and not to join with your coworkers and trying to make a better middle-class life. That's not what you want. You want to be rich. And if you're not rich, then you hate those people, and you definitely hate those people who you can consider beneath you.
Of course, even back in his labor leader days, there were concerns about his involvement with the Red Scare.
That is the thing that we were most concerned about. Anyone who ever joined with Joe McCarthy, there is no way you should be in the Labor Hall of Fame. You gave up the names of people whom you thought were red when you were a part of that circus. How now are you to be celebrated when we know that McCarthy went down in shame? People know now what a farce that was, how bad he was, that you would ever turn on your union members and give up their names. It's unconscionable to think of this man being put in the Labor Hall of Fame. In our office, we have pictures of labor leaders, and it just makes a mockery of what they've done. It makes a mockery of the people who died at Ludlow trying to vindicate their rights. We have, when you walk in our office, you see Mother Jones and A. Philip Randolph. We're right next to the Labor Hall of Fame. These are people we don't want to be next to Ronald Reagan. It's an outrage.
So, being located in the Labor Department, do they make you put up a picture of Donald Trump?
No. The union office is sort of what you would call an embassy inside of the Labor Department. We are in here because we represent the people who work here. They don't even have keys to our office. So, no, there are pictures. I'm sure it's going to go up as they do with the president and the secretary and the vice president. They will not be in our office. No, absolutely not. No. We are an embassy. We are an enclave unto ourselves.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Eleanor Lauderdale, Executive Vice President of AFGE Local 12.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit workersindependentnews.com.
Workers at the Burgerville chain have begun striking over poverty-level wages and workplace procedures that fail to meet state and federal employment law. KBOO's Kanan Schlesinger has more in this two-part story.
On strike! Shut them down! Portland is a union town! On strike! Shut them down! Portland is a union town!
All right, next one.
Dozens of picketers gathered around a bronze statue on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard and practiced a new type of chant. These are the voices of dozens of people who turned out to support the latest turn of events in the struggle for workers' rights by those employed by the Pacific Northwest fast food chain, Burgerville. It is September 4th, or Labor Day. Today, many white-collar workers are taking the day off, or at least have the comforting incentive of enjoying extra pay if they work today. Meanwhile, many working-class people experience Labor Day as a day on the job just like any other. In the state of Oregon, employers are not required to give their employees increased pay for working the holidays. Many companies choose to pay their workers a holiday rate because they view it as the right thing to do. Most, however, don't. For Burgerville workers who've unionized, not receiving holiday pay is a slap in the face. Today, picketers are showing up to support Burgerville workers as they walk off the line and away from the cash registers to strike against the poor treatment they say they chronically face from corporate and store management.
We know that we do not deserve poverty wages and stability and silencing. We know and we can prove that we deserve so much more. Instead of negotiating with the very people generating their wealth, Burgerville denigrates us. They refuse us dignity and respect. Today we're showing our collective power. We're insisting that not only do we have voices, but that they be heard and that our life chances depend on it. All this is to say that, yeah, we want holiday pay. We think it should be a given, and it's a like tiny concession. But this is also about so much more, because while we're struggling to get by, Burgerville Corporate spends thousands of dollars on a union busting campaign. And they're all chilling today. It's like, you know, holiday for them while we work for minimum wage. Well, like, coworkers of mine with, like, children with health issues find out their schedules 3 days in advance, can't afford health care or child care, don't know how they'll ever retire. Yeah, how can Burgerville be so unjust and, like, sell itself on these, like, woo platforms of love and sustainability? This has to stop. All respect for my coworkers, for the Burgerville workers from other stores acting in solidarity, for all of us taking the lead in our own struggles rather than just hoping to be saved, and for all of y'all who come out here to support us, thank you.
Woo! Yeah! Woo! Yeah.
On a last note, we just want to remind you...
Supporters and workers make their way up to the front of the Burgerville restaurant on Northeast MLK Jr. Boulevard, right up the street from the convention center. After a couple of minutes, cheers erupt as the striking workers make their way outside.
Chris, you want to explain it?
Yeah, we just walked off the job demanding holiday pay from Burgerville 14 Management and Burgerville Corporate.
Chris and six other workers who have just walked off the job jump into the picket line and join their supporters right away. Michelle, heard earlier, didn't have to work today, but showed up anyway to support her coworkers.
This picket is here to support me and all my coworkers that are on strike today. It looks like seven people that were on shift just clocked off. They read a letter to our manager saying, like, this is why we're doing this. It's not personal. This is economic. Like, this is about our livelihoods. So, yeah, it looks like seven walked off, and, like, about maybe three to five didn't show up today. So, effectively on strike, but they might have been too scared to, like, show up and walk out.
Right. Has this happened before?
No. There's never been a walk-off this big in the Burgerville Workers' Union campaign. This is, like, historic.
Does this jeopardize people's jobs?
It's legal, like, it's technically protected, protected concerted activity, so it shouldn't jeopardize people's jobs. It's possible that Burgerville would fire some of us and deal with the legal consequences later, but, yeah, we had, like, phones set up for coworkers that didn't want to, like, lose their wages today.
I caught up with Aspen, a worker who, like Chris, has just walked off the job.
Help people out.
I'm Aspen Bolyu.
Did you just walk off the line?
Well, I was doing onion rings.
You were doing onion rings this morning?
Yes.
Did you know that you were going to be walking off?
We've known for about 2 or 3 days that we were going to do this. But everybody was really nervous at first because everything that's done with the union, we can't get fired for.
Right.
But Burgerville's not exactly, like, on, like, they don't do everything to the exact rule. And so we were a little worried that we were going to get backlash for this, but...
Does that make you nervous?
It does make me a little nervous just because, like, in Oregon you can get fired for any reason. And so, like, it makes me a little nervous because I love my job here. Like, I do love working for Burgerville, but we need stuff like holiday pay and we need our rights to be heard. But knowing that we can't get fired for this makes me want to do it more to make sure that our voices are heard with, like, things that we actually need as a company to actually be shown to the public.
What does it say to you that they don't want to give you holiday pay?
It says they don't, like, value our work, to me at least. Like, it feels like they don't care if we're here or not. They just want us to be their little worker bees. Like, we don't get paid living wages. We get paid $11.25, which is minimum wage here, but before the minimum wage increased here, we were going off a Washington minimum wage because our headquarters is in Vancouver. And so we were already making $11 an hour. When the minimum wage increased, we only started making 25 cents more. None of us see that as living wages.
Are you able to live off of your wages just at this job alone?
No. I still live with my mom, and I only pay $150 in rent because that's literally all I can afford. I don't, like, personally, I only get $300 to $400 each check. And that's I rough. Work, like, almost 40 hours a week.
And do you get paid bi-monthly, like two times a month? Or?
Yes. We get paid every other Friday, this coming Friday. But we're looking for a $5 increase to make it living wages.
So how does it feel right now just having, like, walked off of your job?
It feels scary, but at the same time, I'm glad that we did it to show that we are serious about what we are doing. But, yeah, I think that things like this are going to help us in the long run much more than it's just going to help us right now.
Do you feel like management, or maybe not management in the store, but management, like corporate management, views you as a person and values your humanity?
I think that in this shop especially, I am considered valuable just because I know every location, like every different spot you can work. But as a whole, I don't think Burgerville Corporate sees any of us as actually important. Like, we're just disposable.
They want to work, and they work.
Reporting for the KBOO Evening News, I'm Kanan Schlesinger.
And now we hear from our colleagues at Native Voice Ones for Native American headlines from news from our sovereign nations. And now we hear, sorry for that pause, and we hear from our colleagues at Native Voice Ones for Native American headlines, news from the sovereign nation.
This is National Native News. I'm Rita Daniels, in for Antonia Gonzalez. Firefighters continue to battle as many as 80 wildfires in 10 states, mostly the Pacific Northwest and the Northern Rockies. In South Dakota, state and tribal officials remain on high alert as continuing drought makes for dangerous conditions. Wildfire crews in that state recently contained two major fires in the Black Hills. South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Gary Ellenbolt reports.
Several of South Dakota's reservations have struggled with drought for several months. A small part of the Cheyenne River Reservation has been in extreme drought since early summer. Drought has also affected the Standing Rock and Pine Ridge reservations. Oglala Lakota County in southwest South Dakota is home to the Pine Ridge Reservation. That area is in an extreme fire danger advisory for today. Katie Pajorli with the National Weather Service in Rapid City says Pine Ridge and other locations were under a red flag warning earlier this week.
Our criteria for a red flag warning is relative humidity at 15% or lower and frequent winds of 25 miles an hour or gusts to 25 miles an hour. Just be careful with any flames today. Try not to start any fires.
Tribal lands belonging to the Yankton Sioux Tribe and the Sisseton, Wahpeton, Oyate have been in drought this year as well, but rain in those areas has lessened the concern. For National Native News, I'm Gary Ellenbolt.
The American Indian Science and Engineering Society is gathering in Denver this week to try and inspire more Native American students to study science, technology, engineering, and math. Emerald Craig works with ACES and says STEM is utilized by all walks of life, but we need more Native American representation.
STEM has always been a part of our knowledge, but it's a power of how we're going to make it work for us. We do have a traditional ecological knowledge. It is the basis of who we are, of what we are.
ACES is celebrating their 40th anniversary this year by partnering with the Department of Energy in an effort to provide targeted outreach to Native youth, which includes college internships at various national laboratories. Well, fishermen in the Alaskan village of Quinhagak had nowhere to sell their catch this summer after their corporation-run plant decided to remain closed. The community is entering its second year without a buyer and is struggling to make ends meet. KYUK's Teresa Katsourilis reports.
In the good years, Quinhagak's fishermen used to earn up to $20,000 a season. But after 2 years without a buyer, some members of the community are getting desperate.
High prices in the stores fill up all those credit cards all the way up to $10,000 or more like that. It's hard to live here in Alaska.
Jimmy Annever is an elder who worked as a commercial fisherman for over 60 years. Other fishermen say they're struggling to pay for gas or water. The community used to sell their catch to a plant run by the Coastal Villages Region Fund, a corporation that's supposed to use its fishing quota to support local development. But they haven't reopened the plant in 2 years, saying it was losing money. And other fish buyers have fallen through. Warren Jones, the CEO of a more local village corporation, says he's doing what he can by hiring Quinhagak fishermen part-time.
People are suffering, and winter's coming. And we can't let nobody freeze to death.
He says he keeps several gallons of heating fuel on hand at his home. He never knows when someone might knock on his door in the winter, asking for heat. I'm Teresa Katsourilis.
For National Native News, I'm Rita Daniels.
Now's your chance to show support for the work our volunteers put in to bring you this newscast, rain or shine, every weekday throughout the year. Joining us now are Barbara Bernstein and Seth to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
And you can do that by calling right now at 877-500-5266 or going online and typing in kboo.fm and clicking on the Donate Now button. And that'll make you a member of KBOO. When we ask for money, we're not just asking for your money. We're asking for your spirit, your part of your contribution to the community that's KBOO. We are community radio. And my partner here, Seth, has been referring to us as public radio. And yes, we are generically public radio. But there's a big difference between generic public radio and community radio. And community radio is really part of the community. We are not controlled by some outside force, even if it's a nonprofit outside force. We are very much ourselves. We started out being controlled by an outside force from Seattle called the Jack Straw.
We wouldn't do that in depth, but we are.
We started out many years ago being part of the Jack Straw Foundation, which had a station in Seattle called KRAB, or CRAB. Actually, CRAB went under, KBOO started its own foundation, and we are thriving 50 years later. And you can help us thrive by calling right now at 877-500-5266. You can go online and become a member that way at kboo.fm. And whatever you do to help us, you become part of a really vibrant community, which is really, I think, a big part of what makes Portland, Portland, and definitely what makes Portland weird.
And definitely what makes KBOO part of your life and you part of KBOO's life. We're weird. We are strange. We're outside the boxes, and we like it that way. We don't like the boxes. And so we're the anti-box. How's that? We're the anti-box radio station. Right now, if you give a call at 877-500-5266, you can become a member of KBOO. You will show your support for the local independent news. Your donation will be matched dollar for dollar right now. So if you give us $10 a month, it will become $20 a month. And the money you invest now comes back to you as a service that's essential, especially as mainstream outlets mass-produce feeble attempts at news and fake news and entertainment news and celebrity gossip. We can only step outside of this new norm because of your support. If you are outside the norm, and you probably are because who wants to be norm, give us a call. 877-500-5266. Keep KBOO alive, keep KBOO surviving and thriving and weird. 877-500-5266.
Well, you know, those bumper stickers that say Keep Portland Weird are really not about Portland being like the home, former home of the 24-hour Church of Elvis and the other kind of quirky things about Portland. The bumper sticker about Keeping Portland Weird or Keeping Austin Weird or Santa Cruz or any of the other towns that picked up on that, it's about supporting local business. And that's what I mean by KBOO being weird. We are about localism. Community radio, and when I started talking before about the difference between public, generic, and community radio is based on local broadcasting, local programming, local support. So call 877-500-5266. Become a member of KBOO now.
New driver from 1972.
You're listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the
Their mics on.
KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced and driven newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories and tips at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Isabel Cochran, Kanan Schlesinger, Derek Crooks, and Grace Ann Smith. The producer is Zelos Marchand. Special thanks to Native Voice One. Our engineer is Ben Shirigi. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Zelos Marchand. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO at 90.7 FM in Portland, in Philomath on translator K282BH Philomath at 104.3 FM, and in Hood River at 91.9 FM on translator K220HR. I'm Grace Ann Smith.
And I'm Tom.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO, it's the News and Public Affairs Day of special programming for our fall membership drive. At 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, on Positively Revolting, Ani and Lynn welcome journalist John Nichols with his new book, Horsemen of the Trumpocalypse, a field guide to the most dangerous people in America. At 9, One Land, Many Voices introduces House of Hope, a Waldorf-inspired school in Palestine that provides low-income kids with education and trauma counseling. At 10, a special presentation of legendary scholar Angela Davis, who says, freedom is a constant struggle. And at 11, Pacific Underground talks to local writer Stacy Tran. Her works include Fake Haiku, the forthcoming Soap for the Dogs, and she curates the Tender Table series, stories about food, family, and identity. KBOO is your independent source for news and entertainment. Call 877-500-KBOO or go to kboo.fm and click on Donate.
Tonight for our in-depth, we have The Alzheimer's Solution, a breakthrough program to prevent and reverse the symptoms of cognitive decline at every age, is the first book presenting the only scientifically proven solution to the international epidemic of Alzheimer's disease. Award-winning neurologist Dr. Dean Shirazi and MD, PhD, and Aisha Shirazi, MD, are co-directors of the Brain Health and Alzheimer's Prevention Program at Loma Linda University, reveal that Alzheimer's disease, dementia, and other neurodegenerative diseases are 90% preventable through the choices we make every day. We have in the studios Dr. Dean and Aisha Shirazi. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Great to have you here with us today. It happens to be our fundraising day, so we're excited to have such an important book profiled for our listeners.
Thank you for having us, and we're happy to be here on World Alzheimer's Day, and if we can be of help, absolutely.
Good. I didn't know it was World Alzheimer's Day. What does that mean? What are we doing?
So September is Alzheimer's Month, Alzheimer's Awareness Month, and
I suppose they chose a specific day to talk about it and to raise awareness. And so the social media is, you know, full of posts about Alzheimer's disease and it's
an
awareness essentially.
Okay, look, we're having our fundraiser today and or this week, and so we don't have a lot of time. But this is such an important subject. If we're healthy, why do we have to worry about Alzheimer's?
Because the disease actually starts 20 to 30 years earlier. And what you can do to stop the disease from ever manifesting in your life, or also just maintaining cognitive health, the sooner that you start, the better. And that's the important message we want to spread out there, a message of hope, that we can make a difference in our brain health.
We see that you attribute this disease to, in large part, lifestyle. Is that right?
That's correct, yes. You know, we've known this for a very long time, and there's a lot of evidence that shows that, you know, lifestyle matters, and the earlier you address it, the better.
But if it's lifestyle, then is it a question of us blaming the people who get it rather than of the genetic or other causative factors?
No, it's definitely not a message of blame. It's a message of hope. It's like saying that if somebody has heart attack because their cholesterol was high or something of that nature, that it's their fault. It's not a matter of fault. It's a matter of information being dispersed. It's a matter of empowering communities and families with tools, with information, with specific methods of behavior change and environmental change that can affect not only Alzheimer's risk, but all brain diseases, the risk for all brain diseases. So absolutely, it's not a matter of blame. It's a matter of knowing what can affect your brain, just like knowing what can affect your heart risk or what can affect your cancer risk. For brain, it's even more so a matter of lifestyle implementation that will make the biggest difference.
Oh, is there a relationship between medications and Alzheimer's, especially in light of some of the recent studies in drugs such as cholesterol-lowering drugs, diabetes drugs, and gastrointestinal drugs?
Yeah. So you're absolutely right. There's some evidence that some of these drugs may have a fairly good, strong correlation with the disease, meaning that people who have taken these drugs for a long time, there's evidence, potentially not causative, but the relationship, strong relationship, that they have a higher risk for Alzheimer's. What we say is we're not against medicine. So just because we talk about lifestyle, it would be ridiculous for us to say medicines don't work. If somebody has high blood pressure, blood pressure is in their 160 or above, or you know, for them not to take medicine, it's their risk of stroke, their risk of dementia goes very high. Same thing with other cholesterol-lowering drugs. But lifestyle is something that should be instituted and slowly over time taking over, so the need for medication becomes unnecessary. It's a transition, and sustainable method of maintaining brain health is lifestyle. Medicine is temporary for most of us, and there is no medicine without side effects, absolutely no medicine.
And just kind of on a curious side note, when I was younger, people would say, you know, don't use deodorants with aluminums and certain things like that. Is that still something that we have to be conscious of?
I think the data is not very strong for those kind of issues. The problem has been that we've been focusing on one element and one mineral and one vitamin.